and assisted, it is now my pleasure and my privilege to call upon our brother Phil to give us his address, Saul versus David, Lessons in Living the Truth Under Pressure.
My beloved brothers and sisters, I think there's one thing we want to understand first of all, is what pressure is. So can we go to the Acts of the Apostles and the 14th chapter first of all? Because I think if we begin to understand certain principles as regards pressure. In Acts of the Apostles chapter 14, a very well-known quotation, and at verse 22. And we read there, an exhortation given by the Apostle Paul. And he says, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith that we must, notice that, we must through much tribulation enter the kingdom of God. And that word tribulation should be rendered the word pressure. And here's a fundamental principle, brothers, that we have to grasp. That pressure and tribulation, difficulties, are part of our lot. We know in the book of Revelation the question was asked, who are these arrayed in white? It says these who have come through great pressure. And the word great is the word in Revelation, is the word mega pressure. So it is a class of people who have coped with pressure. And that's the first principle that we have to understand. For Paul, when writing to the Hebrews, said, that whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. So as part of our growing up, as part of our character, pressure is there. So the first principle, the first lesson that we have to learn, that pressure is there, and we have to accept it. And I think if we learn to accept as pressure, as stepping stones to the development of our character, as stepping stones to God's kingdom, we shall be able to cope with life a lot easier. We want this evening to look at the life of David. We want to look at that incident we just read out of the 1 Samuel 23. But I want to run alongside it, and possibly intermingled in with it, are our own problems and difficulties. Perhaps yours won't be seen in the 1 Samuel 23. But possibly some of us can identify with the same problems which David had. Okay, but we're not being persecuted and chased by another man, but like someone like Saul. But the very principles on how David reacted to pressure from outside and pressure from those whom he associated with and how he dealt with it. So can we then go right the way into that 1 Samuel chapter 23? And I think if we think about pressure as part of our life, let's see how David coped with it. The incident opens, and we have to remember that David has been hounded out of his home, away from his family, away, as it were, from his God. Although we know God was with him wherever he was. But his worship had been disrupted, and he was a man that was on the run. And at the advice of Gad, he is told to go. If we come to the 22nd chapter, first of all, 22nd chapter and the 5th verse, we're told the prophet Gad tells him to actually go and live in Judah. Verse 5 of the 1 Samuel 22. The prophet Gad said unto David, abide not in the hold, depart, get thee into the land of Judah. Then David departed and came into the forest of Harith. Now, as far as David was concerned, if you think where he was going, into Judah. Now, Judah was his own tribe. Judah was amongst his own family. Surely he would be safe there from Saul. But there's a problem in Judah. You know, David here feels for his people. And so in verse 1 it says, 1 Samuel 23. Then told they David, saying, behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah, and they rob the threshing floors. The word Keilah means a citadel. The word citadel, I had to look this one up, I wasn't quite sure what the word citadel meant. It means a fortified city. In fact, Keilah is on a steep hill above the valley of Elah. And it's some 3 miles south of the cave of Adullam. Now, it's in Judah, and we find that the Philistines have come up and they have robbed the threshing floor. Now, you just think what that would mean. They had waited all the year, they had gathered their produce into the threshing floor, just waiting for the right opportunity to, as it were, winnow it and get the wheat into their barns. And the Philistines wait until that precise moment, and they think, right, we've got all the stuff in, up come the Philistines and take it away. A whole year's work gone. Now, we would have been devastated at a situation like that. So no wonder the message has come to David that they have come and robbed the threshing floor. We can feel for David. David had a concern for his own tribe. He got a concern for the whole of Israel, the whole of the way in which the problem was concerning himself and the problem which Saul was creating. Because it was while he was here in this area that Saul slays the priests. And as far as David is concerned, surely, if it's the priests, the next will be the prophets. And so as far as he was concerned, he had got a duty still to his countrymen. So if in fact he could hold back the Philistines here, it was essential that he should go out and do his very best. And as far as the people around him was concerned, his own followers, they were trying to help him and say, look, you're the only man that can put the country back on its feet. And so he felt a great responsibility in him for helping these people in Keilah. But notice what he does. Now the first thing that we would do is say, okay, well, let's go up, lads. Let's go and invade and get rid of these Philistines. But David stops. In verse 2, then David inquired of Yahweh, saying, surely, shall I go and smite these Philistines? That is the first lesson in pressure. Let's go to the Proverbs just for a few moments and consider this first lesson. Proverbs chapter 3. He has a decision to make, and we want to consider the decision in a few moments, but let's look at what David does. In Proverbs chapter 3. And verse 5. Verse 5, let's take verse 5 and to 7. Trust in Yahweh with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Or the word understanding is thine own intelligence. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear Yahweh, and depart from evil. Now David realized the situation he would be in. At the moment, if you can imagine, he was an outlaw. He was possibly, we call him a freedom fighter. He was there finding various positions where he could hide himself away from Saul. Occasionally coming out, but to go into a city was a disastrous thing to do. He was alright while he could be in the countryside, the language he could know, but to go into a city means he would be confined, mean that he, in fact, was putting his life in jeopardy and the lives of his own men. So his first consideration, was he doing the right thing? And so he makes it a matter of prayer. And let's stop there, brothers and sisters. How many times when we're faced with a situation, well, shall we or shan't we go and make our own decision, we lead by our own intelligence, and we go and do it without asking God first. And when things go tragically wrong, we say, oh, well, we start to pray to God then, and that's for his decision. But before David did anything, he goes and asks God for what he should do. So we come back to the 1 Samuel chapter 23. If we think about that first of all, that he was going out to battle, not in his own strength, but in Yahweh's strength. He was going out there, guided by God's word. And there's another lesson, isn't it? So make it a matter of prayer first. Look to the scriptures for help, and take those very scriptures with us as we go out to fight the problem, as we go out to deal with the pressure which is all around us. There's one thing we have to consider when we're talking about pressure. Two P's. The first is purpose, and the second is problem. We have to consider purpose. Purpose is what we have at the end of our ideal. Where are we going? The problem is that which stands before us and the purpose. In our life in the truth, we have to consider one very important fact. Is the purpose greater than the problem? Or is the problem greater than the purpose? If the purpose is greater than the problem, brothers and sisters, we shall fail. Because we've lost the purpose. And so essentially, despite problems, despite difficulties, the purpose should be foremost in our minds. Because don't ever, ever, any of us, let that problem become greater than our purpose. And David, despite his pressures, kept the purpose ever before him. God had promised him the kingdom. That was his purpose. Problems came, yes, but they diminished in size according to his purpose, which he had before him. And before us is the kingdom, brothers and sisters. Are our problems of today greater than the purpose? If they are, let's look once more at our understanding of God's kingdom. And so here is David then about to go out. And as we go now into verse 3 of the 1 Samuel 23, and David's men said unto him, Behold, we be afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we come to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines? Look, we're perfectly safe here, but if we go into the city, we're done for, David. The armies of the Philistines. Now, wait a bit. Let's pause there. Were they armies, regular armies, disciplined armies that were coming up to the threshing floors? That's the question we've got to answer. I would suggest that it was not a regular army. I would suggest that it was just the Philistines, marauding bands of possibly soldiers, taking advantage of the civil war that was going on in Israel, and just coming up and at an opportune moment and taking off with a claw. You see, David's men exaggerated the problem. Now, often we do that. How often we exaggerate the problem. They saw regular armies, disciplined armies. David, he saw just marauding bands of Philistines. Verse 4, Then David inquired of Yahweh yet again. Well, we can pose a question. Wasn't David sure? Or wasn't David happy with the message that he received? Let's just consider. He had got to convince his own men. You see, it's quite all right for us to have a purpose in mind. We may be fully equipped with the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We may feel absolutely 100% that we're going towards the kingdom. But our own brothers and sisters may be in a very weak state. They may have problems which at the moment are like in the days of Numbers. They saw the giants of the cities walled up to heaven. And so we have to encourage them. And so David again inquires of Yahweh. No doubt in his mind. If we consider the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ prayed in front of his disciples to give them encouragement also. And so David inquires. So that he might prove to his own brethren. And David inquired of Yahweh yet again. And Yahweh answered him and said, Arise, go down to Keilah. For I will deliver the Philistines into thy hand. That was the message they wanted. And they were going to go forth. And in verse 5, so David and his men went into Keilah, fought with the Philistines, brought away their cattle, and smote them with a great slaughter. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. Look at those adjectives there. He fought, he brought, he smote with a great slaughter. The victory was theirs, brothers and sisters. But a victory, yes. But Josephus writes like this, and he says that David stayed in Keilah until harvest was gathered in, and David felt secure in his victory. There was a problem. He was secure in his victory. Now, that's what Josephus says. And that's the problem, isn't it? But we can fight the man of the flesh and think, I've overcome that at last. And think we've won. But always that same problem will arise. We may have conquered one day. It doesn't mean to say we're going to conquer flesh tomorrow. But you see, if we keep our minds before of the kingdom, we shall in fact overcome. And so, we go into verse 6, and it came to pass when Abiathar the son of Ahimelech fled to David to Keilah, that he came down with an ephod in his hand. And it was told Saul that David was come to Keilah. And David said, Saul said, God hath delivered him into mine hand. He is shut in by entering into a town that hath gates and bars. Think about Saul's comment there. You see, as far as Saul was concerned, he was in the right. David was in the wrong. Surely, God's on my side. God has got David into that city, you know, a city with where he is walled in, and I've got him. David, God's put him into my hands. Oh, Saul, that was Saul's problem. He always thought he was right. And that can be our problem, brothers and sisters, can't it? Take a lesson from Saul. You see, Saul's problem was that he feared man more than he feared God. He was frightened of what people would think of him. He was frightened of what people would say of him. And that was always at the back of his mind. And he always thought he was right. I'm sure all of us, at some time in our lives, we may not have a regular pattern like that, but sometimes we are like that, aren't we? We feel we're right. And sometimes we fear man more than we fear God. It's quite easy for us to say here, while we're together, yes, we do fear God. But when you're a one individual amongst the crowd and the pressure's on, it's a very different situation indeed, isn't it? A very different situation. And so here is Saul, quite assured that God is on his side. But you see, David to Saul was a constant problem. Because David was everything Saul wanted to be. David was a constant pricking of Saul's conscience. And therefore, Saul felt that he'd got to deal with him once and for all. And possibly the young people here will appreciate why when you start work, you will find that there are certain individuals who will be against you. Don't worry about it. Take it to the Lord in prayer. I'll tell you why they are against you. They fear that you are going to take their position. They fear when they understand that you are, quote, religious. They fear that the boss obviously thinks more of you than of them because you are honest, you're courteous, and you are a threat to them. And if anyone is reacting to you like that, remember, God is on your side as long as you are stay with him. That these characters are there for the perfection of your character. It's quite easy for us to say, turn the other cheek, go the extra mile when we're together. But when the pressure is there, turn the other cheek, go the extra mile. And those are lessons that we can cull here from Saul. Saul who was putting the pressure on. Because there's one thing that he wasn't going to do, and that was going to give up that kingdom to David. Saul was a man eaten up inside with jealousy, with envy. And it ate at him, and the more he thought about David, the more it got to him, and the more he saw of David, the more it got to him, and out the kingdom disappeared right out of his mind. And remember, he was a recording brother of an ecclesia. And if we put it like that, brothers and sisters, it is things that we can understand. And here is David. And Saul says, he is shut up in a place which I can get to him. And it was for envy that he was going to get him. So verse 8, and Saul called all the people together to war to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. Now, notice that, brothers and sisters. Whose fight is it? It's Saul's versus David, isn't it? Well, what's Saul doing? He's gathered all the people together to fight his cause. Again, there's a lesson, brothers and sisters, in ecclesial life, that if we've got something which we want to get over, do we get the people to us, our brothers and sisters, we go around and try to influence them? Do we gather them together? Do we use the business meeting to voice our opinion to make sure that we get our say, that we get what we want? Do we use a platform for that purpose? And here we have Saul doing exactly that. He's using his own fight of prejudice, of resentment, of malice, and he's using the very platform and gathering his brothers and sisters around him to fight this one individual. And so here we see there was a personal vendetta by Saul against David. And he goes then to besiege or to trap David and his men. Verse 9, and David knew that Saul secretly practiced mischief against him. The word mischief means to spoil, to break in pieces. What was Saul doing? He practiced mischief. He was breaking in pieces what? He was breaking in pieces David's character. And watch out for that individual, brothers and sisters. The person who will break our character, who will talk about us behind our back, who will influence others to break our character. And here that David said, knew that Saul secretly, you know, whisper behind someone's back. That's what he was doing. Talking about them. And he was breaking his character. What do you think about David then? And here is again a lesson for us all. Verse 10, and David said, and here he makes it a matter of prayer, knowing very well that the pressure is on him, that his character is being despised, that Saul is gathering together the whole ecclesia against him. David makes it a matter of prayer. Now look at this prayer, brothers and sisters. Then said David, O Yahweh, the strength of Israel, thy servant hath certainly heard that Saul seeketh to come to Keilah. The word servant there holds behind it the idea of a servant whose ear has been pierced. A servant who was bound unto his master. Here is David acknowledging his state as a servant. Saul seeketh to come to Keilah to destroy the city. Notice, for my sake. And David understood that he was the cause of the trouble. He was the cause of the problem in Israel. And he was taking it on himself. But really, it wasn't David wasn't the problem, was it? It was Saul was the problem. You know, so often we feel like that, don't we? We feel it's all our faults. Yes, there are times when we do have to take responsibility, yes. But there are sometimes circumstances when it's not our fault that other individuals are making things very, very difficult for us. Notice he recognizes that Yahweh is the strength of Israel. He puts his own position that he is a servant. Will Saul come? I couldn't help thinking of the 2nd of Peter, chapter 2, verse 9. When it's written there that Yahweh knoweth how to deliver the righteous out of trouble. And God would find a way out. And so, in verse 11, will the men of Keilah deliver me up into his hands? Will Saul come down as thy servant hath heard? O Yahweh, God of Israel, I beseech thee. Can't we feel for it? He is a man who's in a cleft stick. He feels responsible for these men who are with him. He feels responsible for the whole nation. And he makes it a matter of prayer. Can't you feel? I beseech thee. He's almost on his knees. He's crying, I beseech thee. Tell thy servant, O Yahweh, he will come. And Yahweh said, he will come down. Then said David, will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hands of Saul? Yahweh said, they will deliver thee up. Here again, brothers and sisters, in the pressures of life as something that we do have to take into consideration. The fickleness of human nature. It's something that we can't always appreciate and something which we find absolutely devastating when it happens. Think of the Lord Jesus Christ. They proclaimed him as Messiah as he came into the city of Jerusalem. And within a few hours, they would be shouting, crucify him! Crucify him. The same people I'm sure that there are people, in brothers and sisters, in this room who have had a similar situation. I'm thinking in the workplace, of having instructed people in their work and have guided them so that they may become proficient in their particular position and help them, possibly spend a lot of time and effort instructing them and leading them so they may have a good position in the company, only to find that the very same people will knife you in the back, will do their very best to get the very job that you hold, that they might take your position. Brethren and sisters, that is human nature. Human nature wants you while you're there, while you've got something to give. And the people in the workplace, when you're no longer needed, then the knife will be turned. And so it is something that we do have to take into consideration. Likewise in the ecclesia. Because human nature, you know, is still in the ecclesia. We're all tainted with it, every one of us in this room. We're all fighting against it. And sometimes, you know, brothers and sisters, it comes to the forefront, doesn't it? In our unguarded moment. We can't always understand the people who we've helped in the truth. The people who we've guided to find that they are backbiting. They're turning against you. And it's something very difficult to understand. But that's human nature. It's something that we do have to take into consideration. But what we, in all this, brothers and sisters, like David, keep before us the purpose. Not the problem. The purpose is the most of that we must keep in our minds. The purpose, not the problem. And therefore, David, in verse 13, and David and his men, which were about 600, arose and departed out of Keilah and went whithersoever they could. You know, it was David himself who wrote, "Mine own familiar friend did eat bread, has lifted up his heel against me." And that really sums up what we've just been talking about. And so David decides that the only way he can do, if they are going to betray him, his own family, his own brothers and sisters are going to betray him, the best thing he can do is move out. He's not going to give them that opportunity. And you know, sometimes there are situations in life that we have to do that. When the pressure is on, and people are doing their very best to bring us down, move out of the situation. I know a situation where once I was in and the pressure was on. Again, the situation where someone was trying to... I taught him the particular job and he did his very best to blacken my name in front of the employer. So I thought the only thing I could do is get another job. I'd made up my mind. The very night I made it a matter of prayer and I went in the next morning to talk about and to say that I was going to give my notice in, the very chap who I was having problems with had put his notice in front of me. And to me, that was a wonderful answer to prayer. But here we are, coming into David. David departs, he gets out of the situation before it engulfs him. And they notice they go whithersoever they could not. You see, David was going to do one thing. He was going to avoid his kingdom being based upon bloodshed. If he stopped in Keilah, surrounded, there would be an open battle in the open field. Now, David was no good as a soldier in the open field as yet. He learned that later on. His best weapons were the idea of running, the idea of a freedom fighter. And so he did not want his kingdom established on blood. And so therefore, as we come to the end of that verse 13, and it was told Saul that David had escaped from Keilah, notice what happens, and he forbade to go forth. Saul thought, well, I'm not going to meet him in the open country. I don't mind if he's in a city where I can take him and I can surround the city, but not in the open country. And there the situation, David moved out and the problem evaporated, but not for long. Not for long. And so we read in verse 14, and David abode in the wilderness of the strongholds and remained in the mountain in the wilderness of Ziph, and Saul sought him every day. Every day Saul sought for him. You know, scriptures tell us that we must take up our stake, our cross, daily. And the pressure is there. We may get over one problem, but the pressure is continually there.
Daily.
So let's face up to it. It's going to be there. And the sooner we realize that pressure is there for a purpose, and the purpose is for the development of our character, the development of our character is that we might be in God's kingdom. What's it matter? It's every day. It's got to be every day. But David here has been trained for a king. And we here, this night, have been trained for a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And the pressure has to be on every day. Every day. Until Christ comes. And David saw that Saul had come out to seek his life. And David was in the wilderness of Ziph, in a wood. David, no respite. He's back against the wall. It was a wearing down process. So let's summarize. How to deal with pressure. Number one, consult Yahweh by prayer. Number two, commit our problems to the Most High. Number three, realize that He knows best, although in some occasions it seems to make things worse. Don't allow the fleshly reasonings and logic of ourselves or of others to influence us. And understand one very important thing, the fickleness of human nature, without and also within. And you know, brothers and sisters, in our life in the truth, encouragement comes at the most unusual of spots, at the most unusual of times. There's David on the run from Saul. He has been chased around the countryside. He has now come into a wood. He feels safe. Only to hear a message that there are people approaching. Are they for him or against him? And he finds that his beloved friend, David, Jonathan, had come to him. So we come now into verse 16. So Yahweh had delivered him out of his hand, and we come now in verse 16. And David and Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God. Think about that. Jonathan had come across what could be termed enemy territory. He'd come right in the very hands of David. And David and Jonathan had met once more. And he noticed he strengthens his hand in God. That word strengthen means to fasten upon or to fortify as a calker. Again, I've got an idea what the word calker meant, but I checked it out with a dictionary. A calker is one who puts pitch on a leaky ships. And that word that strengthen is to fasten upon, to fortify as a calker. What was Jonathan doing? David had come to a situation in his life. Pressure everywhere. And as the sea puts pressure on a boat, and if the planks are not continually pitched, they will in fact leak. And David at this moment in time was almost like a leaky vessel. His faith was beginning to leak out. And along comes Jonathan with the pitch, and he corks the boat of David. And he seals up those areas that his faith was running out. And notice how he does it, brothers and sisters. And he said, "Fear not, don't be afraid. For the hand of Saul, my father, shall not find thee. And thou shalt be king over Israel." You see, Jonathan believed in the promises which God had made to David. Thou shalt be king over Israel. What wonderful encouragement that would be to him, brothers and sisters. You know, there are times when our vessels tend to leak. And the word of encouragement comes. It's the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. We hear that words of exhortation which lift us up and realize that life is worth living despite its pressures, despite the see, as it were, putting its pressure on us, that we can survive the storm, that we can come, and the sea will be calm, because over there is the purpose. In front of us, the problem. But with the word of God, our boat can be sealed up, and as a leaky vessel, no longer leaky. Thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee, and that also Saul my father knoweth. You see, Saul's words, the prophecy had been given to Saul, that Saul would, the kingdom would no longer be Saul's. But Saul knew this, and that was Saul's problem. You see, Saul was told that the kingdom was no longer his. Now you think of Saul's reaction. Alright? If I'm not going to have the kingdom, then David's not going to have the kingdom. That's the spirit, isn't it, of human nature. How different to David. When David was told, you'll not build the temple, but David didn't say, alright, if I'm not going to build it, well, I'm not going to do anything towards it. And we have this, don't we, in ecclesial life, brothers and sisters. If brother or sister's offended, they withdraw their help in the meeting. Alright, if they won't accept my idea, right, that's it. I withdraw my services. You can take me off the speaking list. You can take me off the opening up list. That's flesh. And that's how Saul reacted. That's how Saul reacted. If I'm not going to be king, then David's not going to be either. But here's Jonathan. What a lovely person. He said, I shall be next to you, David. But you're going to be the first. In verse 18 it says, and the two made a covenant before Yahweh, and David abode in the wood, and Jonathan went to his house. And that's the last time these two met. And how this would go with David in his times of problems and difficulties. Verse 19, then came up the Ziphites to Saul to Gibeah, saying, doth not David hide himself in the strongholds and in the wood? Now wait a bit. Who were the Ziphites? They were people who lived in Judah. They in fact come from Caleb's grandson, Ziph. They were of his own tribe. And his own brethren and sisters were prepared to betray David. He's with us in the strongholds and in the hill of Hakalah, which is on the south side of Jeshimon. Now, O king, come down according to the desire of thy soul. Come down, and our part shall be deliver him into the king's hand. So Saul, we know exactly where he is. We'll put him into your hands. But notice Saul's cautious reaction. He says, blessed be ye of Yahweh, for ye have had compassion on me. Here was Saul wallowing in self-pity. Oh, at last somebody feels sorry for me. At last somebody feels they're going to help me in my problem. Go, I pray you, prepare yet. And know, and see his place where his haunt is. And who hath seen him there? For it is told that he dealeth very subtly, that he's a very cunning man. He said, go and prepare. Lay the traps. And the word haunt, see where his haunt is. The word haunt is to observe his tracks. To follow a trail like a wild animal. Track him down. I want you to make perfectly sure. Perfectly sure you come back and tell me. You know, brothers and sisters, isn't this flesh again? Isn't this flesh again? Here's someone making the bullets for somebody else to fire. And we have that in the world, brothers and sisters. It's a tragedy. We have it in the world. And sometimes, when flesh rises in us, brothers and sisters, it's in the ecclesia. He wasn't going out there to track David. He was going to get somebody else to do his work for him. See therefore, verse 23, take knowledge of all the lurking places where he hideth himself, and come again to me with the certainty. I don't want you coming back here and say, well, we think he is. I want you to tell me certainly. Then I will go with you, and it shall come to pass, if he be in the land, that I will search him throughout the thousands of Judah. And they arose and went to Ziph before Saul. But David and his men were in the wilderness of Zephon. And we come to a situation in verse 26, and Saul went on this side of the mountain, and David and his men on that side of the mountain. And David made haste to get away for the fear of Saul. And you imagine David there. And he knew that on the other side of that mountain was Saul. And in between him was that mountain, protecting him. There was his rock of defense, brothers and sisters. No wonder in the Psalms sometimes he uses God as a rock. There was his rock, the mountain. And God kept the two parties apart so that they could not come one to the other. And David was there. And if you think there, brothers and sisters, what stopped Saul getting to David? It was Yahweh, yes. But what is a mountain used in Scripture? A mountain, a symbol of the kingdom. And the kingdom stood between David and Saul. And that's how David was able to overcome. Saul was a problem, yes. But before him was the kingdom. That little stone which became a great mountain and filled the earth. But again, David is rescued. In verse 27, and there came a messenger. And this word messenger can be applied to an angel, or it can be applied to a mortal. There came a messenger unto Saul, saying, haste thee, come, for the Philistines invaded the land. Saul was so intent, you see, on chasing David, he left off the security of the country. And so Saul returned from pursuing David after David and went against the Philistines. Verse 29. So here's David pursued to the limit. And then, and David went up from thence and dwelt in the strongholds of En-Gedi. The word En-Gedi has the idea of the city of palm trees, or the city of the upright ones. And if we want to take a type and a shadow, brothers and sisters, in all David's problems of dealing with pressure, he has now come to the city of palm trees. And isn't that us, brothers and sisters? Have we seen ourselves and the situations in our lives with Saul and with David? There will come a time, brothers and sisters, if the purpose is before us, that we shall dwell in a city of palm trees with the upright ones. We pray, brothers and sisters, that our God will be with us and we shall be there in that glorious kingdom for which we have set our minds, where the purpose has become greater than any problem that we may have.